On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I preview this weekend's matchup for men's and women's basketball, review this past weekend Gamecock athletics, and go over some college football notes. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 26 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And real quick, if we have any new listeners here, first off, thank you very much. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you. But what I mean by 1801 to 2001 is if you want to say having an ode to our great university, the University of South Carolina, obviously was founded in 1801, and we have 2001, A Space Odyssey, our football team runs out to, our sports teams run out to. So trying to keep every episode of this year podcast from 18 minutes and 1 second to 20 minutes and 1 second. But you know what, y'all? Give me a break if I miss it by a minute or two here or there. Going to really try to do it my best, but I think it's a fun little thing. And also, just so we are on the same page here, I know I've said this time and time again, but I'm not an expert. I'm not trying to be. For these podcasts, please, I want you to think of my takes, my analysis as none other than a guy you're sitting next to at a bar having a beer with who also loves the Gamecocks as much as you do and maybe just likes to talk a little bit more, because that's basically what I am in life, just one talkative guy who just will not shut up about the South Carolina Gamecocks because I love them so damn much. But on this episode here, what we're going to do is I'm going to review any news and notes that came from this week and going to mainly focus on the basketball preview. We have men's and women's playing some big matchups this upcoming weekend. And then I do have a couple of things I wanted to touch on in the college football world. So with that being said, it was kind of a slow week because there are exams. So first off, if you are taking exams, good luck. I hope they went well. Study hard. Use the hell out of that note card if they give you one for the study guide. Write it super small. And then walk on over to Salty when you're done. One of my best memories in college was I finished my last final in college. It was a finance class. It was not for my major. It was horrendous. I got a D, but D was a passing grade because it was not part of my major. But I knew that I was going to get by the skin of my teeth. And me and a buddy met at Salty the minute they opened. And we even beat the beer delivery truck. So we had to drink Miller Lite as opposed to your boy's favorite Bud Light. But just go straight to Salty. That's my motto. But yeah, so it was a slow week on the news side of things, but we did have some updates from the football team, actually. So real quick here, freshman Tyshawn Wanamaker, Alex Boogie Huntley, and Juju McDowell, they were named to the All-SEC freshman team from the coaches. So other coaches recognizing what we have, big congrats, big ups to y'all three. And I mean, it just says the future is bright for South Carolina. And I mean, we have guys who are going to be playing next year who are juniors, maybe seniors who may come back, sophomores, but three freshmen to be named to that, all three at different positions, mind you, offensive line, defensive line, and running back, shows that there has been some strong development from Beamer and staff from the freshman that he inherited, because Boogie Huntley was not one of his recruits. So very, very good to see, and big congrats to y'all. Now, kind of on a different side of things, one of the older folk, if you will, on the team, Saquandre White. The big news, if you haven't seen, he has announced that he is going pro. He is going to enter his name into the NFL draft. And what a great accomplishment for Hot Boy, for Z White. I mean, what a story. The kid was at FSU, then went to JUCO, came to South Carolina, played a little defense, rode it out, and had himself a hell of a year. And you really can't blame the kid for jumping. I think some people were thinking that maybe he would come back, get a little bit more tape. But look, He was a playmaker. He was electric. And he believes in his abilities. And I believe in his abilities, right? He might not be a high draft pick. He might be even an undrafted free agent. But he will make an impact on whatever team he is on. And we saw that this year, that when you put the ball in his hands or you need a big conversion, I mean, hell, even on special teams, in the 2 years ago, you saw it. He is a playmaker, and I wish Z-White nothing but the best. Side note on him, Beamer did not say directly if he is skipping the bowl game or not. A lot of times guys will skip the bowl game to prep for the NFL draft. They don't want to risk injury, things like that. But there was no definitive answer, at least as of yet. So, hey, maybe it's best of both worlds. We get Z-White in the bowl game, and then he goes and trains from there. So good luck, Z, wherever you end up. I hope he ends up on my team. I mean, for my sake, I don't think he wants to end up on the Jets, but whatever. Anyway, so on the opposite side of that coin, Josh Van, he turned down an invite to go to an all-star game, which many are saying points to him returning to South Carolina next year. He has an extra year because of the weird COVID eligibility. I feel like I've said this a million times, but that makes sense to me. I mean, he had a really solid year for us. But when you think about the stats, maybe from a national point of view, he was good. Good, not great. But he was great for us because we needed that steady hand, that true number one, and he stepped up. But if he can build on that and get more tape and really catch some eyes for teams in the NFL instead of being maybe just kind of on their radar, maybe someone they can look at later in the draft, he can make himself wanted. You're in the SEC. You have two good back-to-back years. Now you can say that, hey, that was not a fluke. I am an NFL caliber player. So if he does come back, that is electric, because get in the van, because he's going places, and he actually needs to get himself a minivan because he just actually welcomed in a baby. I believe it's a baby girl. Don't quote me on that, but congrats to you, my man, Josh. Papa Josh, Papa Van. Oh, big up. So yeah, stay in school. Really get your tape and then go get your bag, because now you got a little one to support. Diapers are not cheap from what I've heard. But on the other side of players staying, I feel like we're going back and forth here. It's like, ooh, ooh. Defensive back Dominic Hill. So he entered the transfer portal. And I mean, really, he didn't see the field a whole heck of a lot at his time in South Carolina. I think the idea was that maybe this upcoming year he could have played more of a role. But hey, best of luck to him. I hope he lands somewhere where he can get a lot of tape and a lot of playing time. And then safety slash linebacker Jamar Brown, he is also entering the transfer portal. And I think most Gamecock fans, the first thing you may think of Jamar Brown is that infamous play where he fumbled the ball right before the goal line. He was celebrating a pick six, a would-have-been pick six, and he dropped the ball and the other team got it. I think that was against the Troy game. But he is a solid player. And down the stretch, he played some key minutes. It's more of a basketball term, but he played some key moments for us when guys like Jalen Dickerson were banged up. So he can play. He can ball. He wants to go somewhere where he can thrive. And I think in general, get on a little soapbox here, every school is going to have to deal with players leaving, players entering the transfer portal. It is the new normal, if you will, in college football. Kids can go, they get the one-time transfer, you go, and honestly, you can't blame them, right? At the end of the day, these are college kids, and they have to make a decision on what is best for not just their present. I think a lot of people think of, well, they just want to play next year, they didn't want to ride the bench. Like, that may be true. I mean, at 18, 19 years old, were you very patient? I wasn't. But they also need to make an impact or at least try to help their future. So if you can go somewhere, maybe it's not as brand name as an SEC school, but if you can go somewhere and put together two solid years of tape, maybe even 3 years of game film, that will help you a heck of a lot more getting to the NFL than riding the bench for 2 years playing for one. So I don't know. It's very interesting to see, but don't be a hater. If these guys go, let's just only support them. They are Gamecocks still at the end of the day. Once a Gamecock, always a Gamecock, in my opinion. But there are some interesting updates from elsewhere, people entering the transfer portal. Spencer Rattler, obviously that big-time quarterback from Oklahoma, he had a virtual visit with the staff on Wednesday night. And look, I know there's a lot of people that are on the fence about us getting Rattler. His name was associated with South Carolina immediately because of Beamer's connection to Oklahoma. But people are concerned that maybe he's a bit egotistical. Maybe he's not so much a team player, not so much a leader. And I don't really know. I don't know enough about the kid. I've watched him when he played. I think he's incredibly talented. He was a Heisman watch list when he was starting. And I think if you can bring a guy of that caliber in, it'll say a lot about people believing in Shane Beamer. It'll get a lot of attention to the school, which is always a good thing. But it is a one-year rental, which in my mind, you get Spencer. He comes and he plays for a year. He's going to go to the NFL after that. You get that year to develop a Luke Doty or a Braden Davis who's coming in, and there's no pressure to rush these guys. But outside of Spencer Rattler, there was a very, very interesting development with LSU quarterback Max Johnson. He entered the transfer portal the other day, and this one, folks, this one is very intriguing for South Carolina. First off, I mean, the dude has the perfect name to be a Gamecock. Max Johnson, the cock. As a guy that has made a podcast based off of a pun of his last name, I think I'm entitled to make that reference. So don't try to take it from me. But, I mean, that's just a natural fit. Seriously. But also his brother, who is set to be a freshman next year, he is a stud tight end recruit. I believe rated higher, if not as high as Oscar Delp. And could that be a package deal? I mean, his brother had been recruited by South Carolina previously, but also, check this, the Johnsons have a relationship to Zeb Noland, of all people, and the entire Noland family. Zeb's dad was their high school coach, and apparently Zeb and Max, they're cool with each other. They're like friends. So could you imagine the randomness that was Zeb Noland making his way to the 2021 Gamecocks end up having an enormous impact that benefits us for years? That would be something else. Then I might still buy the Zeb Noland jersey. But, I mean, Max, compared to Rattler, it's obviously more of a commitment. And you're saying, hey, you could come here and play for Carolina for multiple years. The coaches would have to figure out who sits behind him in development. But, hey, that would be a big-time get and bring stability to a position really that we have needed. We've needed a guy who could be a multiple-year starter. It hasn't really worked out. Yes, we had Bentley, but you know what? Eh. So Max Johnson, keep an eye out for him and keep an eye out for Rattler. I mean, I don't want to make promises one way or another, but it feels like there's some smoke with either of these guys. So let's keep our fingers crossed. Now, other football notes here, more related to the Duke's Mayo Bowl here. Sam Howell has announced he's going to play. You know what? It is that neat factoid where he started his career in Bank of America Stadium against South Carolina. Now he'll be ending it there because presumably he will be going to the NFL after this game. And you know what? Some people were like, oh, now I'm nervous. Yeah, maybe I'm a little bit more nervous, but screw it. If I'm going to play UNC, if we want to beat UNC, let's do it at their full strength and see just how good we really are. And that would be one hell of a way to end 2021. But a quick note outside of all of this that I wanted to touch on, because the news broke after the last podcast dropped, so I had to wait a couple of days. But ding dong, the witch is dead. Sing it high, sing it low. Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. Brent Venables leaving Clemson, leaving that stupid ass school in the upstate, going to Oklahoma. And arguably, the reason they have been so dominant, other than lucking into generational quarterbacks back to back, was their defense and their ability to stop just about every team they played. He is gone. On top of that, their athletic director left from Miami. So all of a sudden, if you're that team in the upstate, you have got to be scratching your head saying, what in the hell is going on here? And I think the facade, that the tight pack, the continuity that that team was always able to have that made them good year after year after year, it has cracked. It has shattered. And now we're going to see really what they're made of. And yes, they had made a heck of a program that was consistent year in and year out. But now, if Miami can get good by hiring Mario Cristobal and Venables leaves, they're not going to be able to replace him. They might get someone good. But hey, I think we can say that the wicked witch in the upstate is dead. Ah. But moving on to basketball, moving on to our focus that is the South Carolina Gamecocks. Can't give that school any more airtime. The men's team, they play Florida State this Sunday at noon in the No Room for Racism Classic. Now, Florida State, they are 5-3. However, coming off back-to-back losses here, Florida State, they've been good the past few years. They've been tournament teams. They've made some far runs, but to my knowledge, it seems like they're reloading. They've lost some talent from the past few years. They had upperclassmen that got drafted, so seems like they're kind of trying to creep their way back, find an identity, and it's really weird. Their stats are, like, eerily similar to South Carolina. FSU averages 72 points per game. I think South Carolina is 70, while giving up 66 points a game, and I think that's honestly the same number that Carolina gives up, but we do have an advantage in rebounds on the year. And so what I'm going to try is we're going to keep the Crows to the Game going. So anyone who doesn't remember that, I don't do keys to the game. I didn't do keys to the game during football season. I do my Crows because we have our Rooster Crow. So we're going to give this a shot. This is the first dive we're doing into a little bit more nitty-gritty of basketball. So let's see how this goes. Going to try it on for size. See how it fits. So my first crow to the game for this is play big. I'm talking guys like Levesque and Keyshawn Bryant, our fours, our fives. They have to play big and physical to not allow FSU to get second chances. I believe that their field goal percentage is higher than ours, but we have seen this Carolina team give up second chance points, and that's what bites us in the ass. And my second crow is let Stevenson make it rain. I know I've kind of been up and down on Eric Stevenson, but if he can compliment our big men by making some big three-pointers, maybe end up a tad higher than his 12 points per game average, what you're able to do then is you're able to stretch the floor, which should make our bigs operate better in the point. And overall, I mean, while FSU may have a higher ceiling than South Carolina right now, I got a feeling that the momentum from the Georgetown win, I got a feeling that that carries over and South Carolina can catch a dub this weekend. Now, shifting gears over to the women's team, Dawn Staley's squad, obviously they are rolling this year, coming off big win after big win. They also play on Sunday. They play at 3 p.m. in the Jimmy V Women's Classic. I actually think that that is presented by Corona. Nice. Find your beach. Yeah, baby. They're going to take on University of Maryland. Now, Maryland, they are actually ranked 8th in the country and are sitting at 9-2. And I mentioned this on the last episode, but a lot of people have been saying that Maryland can make a deep run in the tournament, maybe see us even in a Final Four or Elite Eight. So anytime you're able to see a team like that early in the season, I think it's advantageous. Some people will say it's hard to beat a team twice. Like, yes, that may be true, but I think when you are as well coached as Dawn Staley and company, you are able to take things and learn from them, and ultimately, you're not going to play the same game twice. But Maryland averages 83 points per game compared to the 48 that South Carolina allows. Think about that. 48 points allowed per game. Meanwhile, Maryland does allow they shoot 76% from the free throw, from the stripe. Can't speak, man. But my crows to the game for this one, shock Maryland with our defense. So you just saw there's a big discrepancy in their points per game versus our points allowed. We've seen it. We have been able to shut down UConn and other teams for entire quarters, giving up single digits. It doesn't sound like Maryland has seen anything like that. So Dawn Staley needs to crank up the intensity and shock Maryland with our style of play. And my second crow to the game is just play smart. I just mentioned their percentage from the foul line. We can't let them get to the foul line. Obviously, with that high percentage, it would allow them to creep back into the game. If so, we have to limit their trips and make it difficult for them. But overall, while Maryland is probably a good squad, no disrespect, we very well might see them in the Final Four, Elite Eight, whatever it may be. I just don't see any team slowing down the Gamecocks right now. So I'm thinking the ladies take a W there and they keep rolling. And that means a potential 2-0 weekend for Gamecock basketball. That would be one hell of a Sunday. NFL, Gamecock basketball, that would be awesome. So I'm excited to keep track of both of those games. But with that, that concludes this episode. Please go follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is Cox Talking Gamecocks, just the name of the show. And if you are able to leave a review for the podcast wherever you're listening, please do. I appreciate any and all feedback. And with that, let's go, Cox.